Thank you so much. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good day, good dawn, good dusk, good noon, good night, good desk. Welcome to The Long Shot. It is a podcast. I am one of your hosts. My name is Sean Connery. With me today on the podcast, as ever, the great, the one, the only, the magical Amber Kenny is here.
Oh, wow. What an intro. Hello.
First thing I have to say is I really hope that by the time people are listening to this podcast, a former president of the United States has been arrested for the first time in the history of this country. I don't know that that will happen, but I think it would be delightful. The man has been a criminal for 50 years, and it's time for him to start suffering some consequences. This seems to be all anybody's talking about on the news at this point. It's become a huge kerfuffle. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the House committees are going to investigate the New York District Attorney for politicizing law enforcement, which is like so Orwellian, so bizarrely Orwellian. You know,
it's like
the Ouroboros, the snake eating its tail.
Persecute me because you don't like me politically, even if I commit crimes. Like,
right. Well, and people should not be going after people for political reasons. So we're going to go after the Democrats to make sure they can't go after Republicans. Right. It's crazy. And of course, there is the healthy threat of physical violence.
I know.
I suspect that there will be some. I just don't know how much.
I'm scared of that.
I am too. I think it's upsetting. Like the Capitol riot, insurrection, whatever you choose to call it, tourist visit, whatever you want to call it. I watched that all day that day. And I kind of feel like I didn't really understand what was going on. Like, I was kind of making jokes about it and whatever, and this is so absurd. And I wasn't fully comprehending the implications of what was happening and how horrific it was. And I also just thought it was absurd. I was like, how do these people think they're going to affect a change in the election? Like, it doesn't make any
sense. You're right. You should decide who the president is, crazy person.
Like, let's just walk in and make sure these people know who's supposed to be president. But I just remember that I was watching it and I ended up somehow, I don't know, I called my father, he called me while I was still watching it. And he wasn't even aware of it. Like, he had I don't remember what, he had stuff to do all day. So he was not paying attention. So he walked into his house and I was like, are you watching what's going on? And he was not aware of what was happening. And he turned on CNN. And so I got to see him.
Like in real time.
Process in real time what was happening. And I got to watch his mind be blown, like just going, what, how is this even possible that this is happening? Like, what country is this that we're living in that people are storming the Capitol building? Like, this makes no sense. So anyway, luckily Trump is out there calling for violence. So hopefully people will fuck some shit up when he gets arrested tomorrow.
We just rewatched all of Veep. Like, we tend to have a show that, while we're eating lunch or something, that we could put on that. Anyway, so we did that with Veep. It took a while, but we rewatched all of it. Mm-hmm. And the craziest part about where it ends, and I know the show ended in 2016.
Right.
But, like, I could tell, this is a take that has been said before. I am aware of that. But I was struck rewatching it because I could tell that the writers were like, wouldn't it be crazy if? And it was like, you guys have to actually shoot farther for the moon. Like, it gets much worse and much bleaker and much more corrupt and insane and violent. And it's almost like sweet. It's from a time before, right. Even though it's biting satire and all of that. But right.
This will never happen, so we'll use it for comedy purposes.
Kind of, yes. And her whole team. Have you watched it?
No, I've never seen the whole show.
Well, basically, by the end, she, not that she ever had a ton of backbone or
morality.
Yes, but she
character.
She drops it all. Like she turns on everyone, her friends, family, everything, just to get
the presidency.
The presidency, and the people on her team finally quit. Because they can't put up with it. But they have been the ones like asking her to do stuff like that up until that moment. I'm making it sound, it's funny.
Grim. Very grim. Yeah.
But I was like, I don't know if they would quit. Like, it's a very optimistic view.
You're saying the characters on the show wouldn't quit because they were so eager for her to become president that they would want to be on board for that.
Yes.
Well, to that point, that's what's so weird about all this stuff with Trump is that all of these people are so on board with everything he's doing. And it's exactly the reason you're saying, which is they're just like, I want to be close to the most powerful man in the world. I want to be a part of this, and I may get to have some influence or some say, or I may be able to get a decent table at the Trump International Hotel or whatever, you know?
Well, and a reoccurring sort of theme and joke on Veep is people are always like, so why do you want to be president? And she can never answer it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, she could answer it for her, like, because she wants to win, but she doesn't have like a good public answer. And I feel like that's the whole thing. Like, everyone's fighting for this position, but then once they have it, like, what are you going to do with it, asshole?
Well, famously, right, the Republican Party platform in 2020 did not exist. Like, there was nothing except we support Donald Trump. They weren't like, we're going to raise taxes, we're going to lower taxes, we're going to cut Social Security, we're going to enhance Social Security. They had no ideas of governing in any way because – who cares? Who cares? As long as we're in power and we get our salaries and our health insurance, you know? Crazy, crazy times. And of course, I do appreciate the fact that so many Trump allies are coming out and saying, well, this is just making people like him even more. They're going to vote for him now. He's going to become president again because he's being so unfairly persecuted. And it's like, no, you're not going to scare me into not prosecuting him, you know?
Yeah, that's a very convenient argument,
right?
Like,
it's like the why are you hitting yourself argument, you know? So anyway, I hope that everybody is dancing in the streets and drinking champagne right now, because this comes out on Wednesday and this will hopefully have happened by then, but we will see. All right. Well, we always like to start the show with a segment that we call What's Going On in the World of Donald Trump? And then we move on from that segment. We come to another segment that we call Checking In. I couldn't think of it for a second. Checking In. So let's check in today with Amber. What's going on, Amber?
Yeah, I had a delightful surprise this week.
We'll be the judge of that.
It was on Thursday. Well, it was delightful to me.
I guess we'll see.
My good friend Whitney, and you know Whitney.
I do know Whitney.
She in the pandemic moved down to Laguna Beach, so she isn't that close. It's not that far, but it's not that close. And
I mean, that's the definition of every location in Los Angeles. It's not that far, but it's not that close.
Well, and this is not Los Angeles, so it's like double whammy.
I always assume that any place anybody mentions is, I'm like, oh yeah, San Diego is part of Los Angeles, right?
And we still see each other quite a bit, but mm-hmm. it it has to be planned. It's not just like a, oh, I'll casually stop by really quick or something like that. And she works at Disney and her offices are across the street from DreamWorks. And I never like fully pieced that together. I think because once I'm on the DreamWorks campus, like I am on the DreamWorks campus. I don't leave and I don't think about the world surrounding.
You're in your dorm, you're in the quad, yeah, you're not, yeah, you know, you're not just wandering around to the political science building. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not like, hey, let's play Ultimate. Oh, what's this building over here? You know.
But she sent me a text message on Thursday at like 11:30 a.m. And she's like, hey, are you at work today? Do you want to go for a walk with me at noon? Because I'm across the street. And I was like, yes. Oh my God. And I got so excited that I like went down there before noon and I was just waiting for her. And so we went for a walk on the streets, like
on the quad.
Well, outside of DreamWorks, because she didn't have a sign-in. Right. I left DreamWorks and she left Disney and we walked the streets that
where it was legal. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Off campus. You went off campus,
yes,
which you're allowed to do after you're not an underclassman anymore.
Correct. And I'm not an underclassman.
Right.
But it was so, it was, I mean, we probably walked for 20 minutes. It was like not a huge time commitment or anything like that, but it was just so nice to see her. And it was so nice to break up the work day. Because again, like, my brain is like, I'm at work and I'm at the office. And like, that is the extent of the possibilities of the day. And then I go home and I go to bed and harumph.
I'm living in a nightmare. I will soon be set free. Yeah, yes. I get it.
But so just like seeing a good friend being in a slightly different environment, it just like was like, it was a nice reminder for my brain that,
yeah,
different things could happen. And, you know, she's one of my best friends and has been for a really long time. So it's pretty easy to talk to her.
I think I can say she's also one of my best friends and has been for a long time also.
Okay.
So, you know,
you can say anything.
It's free country, freedom of speech, First Amendment, Second Amendment backs up the First Amendment.
And yeah, I hope that we get to do that more often, but it is, I feel like this is a reoccurring theme in my life where I sort of box myself in. I guess that's very the human experience.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start doing something a certain way, it's like you can't see the universe outside the walls that you built.
Yeah. It's like you don't even, I mean, well, first of all, I have to say, why did Whitney not do this before now? Okay, Whitney.
Well, I think
like she clearly was aware of like when you were, she knew your movements, she knew when you were on campus, when you were off campus,
well,
where
I
your
think,
office was.
Recently, there was like a public announcement of the new CEO of Disney. And I don't know if this came to you, but it came into my world because everyone was concerned that it would have implications for us.
Was
but
this
guess,
the thing where they rehired the guy who had left, Bob Iger?
Yes.
Is this the Iger sanction with Clint Eastwood and George Peppard?
But I guess they said return to the office in the fall, like they did for us.
Mm-hmm.
But no one really took it seriously. Everyone just kind of was like, okay. And so this new,
whatever, dude, we're Disney, we don't do things the way
like they would
does
sometimes, but it was very casual, loosey-goosey. Mm-hmm. And so this new CEO, like, you have to come into the office, and it's not 3 days a week, it's 4 days a week,
right?
And so I think that Whitney wasn't coming to the office as regularly, and now she is coming.
Now she has to come all the time, and she's had you under surveillance all this time, so she knows. Yeah. She's tracked your movements. She knows, like, Amber gets breakfast at this hour. She gets oatmeal with a little bit of coffee and a side of fruit.
She was telling me her schedule because she has a baby, and she lives in Orange County, so it's insane.
Demographic.
Well, it's insane because to avoid traffic. I think she said she comes in the office at like 6 a.m.
Straps the baby to the hood and is like, get out of my way.
She comes in at like 6 a.m. So that she could leave at 2 p.m. But it's just like, it's like, and I, both of those times, I think there's zero traffic. So that also, but it's just like,
the sacrifices we make for our kids.
Oh my God.
It is nuts. And they'll never thank us. They'll never know. That baby will grow up not knowing that his mother had to get up at 4:30 in the morning just to go to work at a fucking nightmare corporation.
But yeah, I hope that we get to do it more. Oh, also, I normally have lunch with coworkers, and so they were kind of like, where are you? And I was like, oh, my friend wanted to go for a walk. So it's not like really a big deal. She works at Disney. It's pretty cool.
Her name is Disney. I don't know if you heard of her.
And I got some, you know, fresh air steps. Like it was positive all the way around.
Did you track your steps?
I mean, I had my phone on me and it counts my steps.
So you pay attention to that?
Loosely, I would say. I try to not be sedentary, but I'm not like I'm losing sleep if I don't hit a certain number.
Right.
But also walking smudgy,
you pretty much hit it every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. The that's just the thing that's been up and down on this show with various
people.
So yeah, I know. Just wanted to see if I don't track my steps. I just write one next to how many steps have you taken today every day. Just to be clear that I am.
Well, because you roll most places.
Yeah. I'm like a so bug. So that's fun. That's fun that you got to see Whitney. And, you know, just let me know when you guys are going to go on campus and have lunch at Universal. I'm happy to, you know, clear my schedule and be there.
You're two best buds.
Yes, my best friends. I mean, I wish that wasn't true because it doesn't feel like we're, you know, well, whatever.
The other thing I was going to say, and it's not, whatever, I'll say it. It is what it is. But in my new job, which I'm liking so far, it's exciting. It's
branding.
Yes, brand manager. Mm-hmm. And I'm a lot more comfortable being uncomfortable, is how I explained it to my manager, where I'm like, I don't know stuff, but it doesn't like, I'm not instantly self-loathing about it. I'm like, yeah, I don't know that yet. I will. I'm not too worried about it. I'm pretty bright. But
by the way, I'm a lot more comfortable being uncomfortable is one of the songs that was cut from My Fair Lady. That was Henry Higgins sang that about Eliza Doolittle. So that's good that you're comfortable being uncomfortable. That's part of the learning process.
Yeah. You know? And talking to Whitney about it, it actually made me feel really good because
I know.
It's kind of crazy that I got to this position because, oh, Smudgy's home.
Smudgy!
You know, I started as a temp coordinator of assets on the market. It's not a complete equivalent, but it's sort of like starting in the mailroom.
Yeah.
And working my way up.
So you're saying basically you've been failing upwards the entire time.
No, I'm not saying that. I am not saying that. I am succeeding upwards. I guess like I started my career at age 34. So like I'm doing okay, kid.
There
I'm
goes
doing
Jeff.
All right. They went to the park today. He had the day off.
Yeah, but, you're succeeding. Okay to not start. You don't have to get out of school and go, this is what I'm doing the rest of my life, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess that's what's crazy is I'm managing the summer intern. I can't remember if I already talked about this.
I don't think so.
And I have to hire them.
I was not listening.
I have to hire them. And I'm looking at all of these resumes and they are so
you did talk about
impressive.
This a little bit like
they're so impressive, they're like shockingly impressive. They're the exact opposite of what you were just saying where like they are 22 and they know exactly what they want to do and they've already done it and they've like started a corporation and they've like fed the homeless and
learned coding
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's like, man, I wonder what would have happened if I had known what I wanted to do younger, and if now I would be fully like the CEO or something.
But here's the thing. Like, I know what you're saying, and I have the same thoughts sometimes. Because, you know, what am I doing? What do I do? I'm a sitcom writer, and I teach sitcom writing. And I never had a sitcom writing job until I was 37 years old, you know?
Right, right.
But the thing that I think is the trade-off is that you and I have lived way more interesting lives than all these people who are like, I got my marketing degree, and I started a corporation, and I, you know... And I noticed that when I'm in sitcom writers' rooms, I was just talking about this with somebody a couple of days ago, where the people who are like getting out of school going, I'm going to be a sitcom writer and I'm writing sitcoms, whatever. They don't know how the world functions. They don't know anything. They're just
point of view.
Right. And, you know, oh, I know how relationships work because I saw what happened on Friends. I saw what happened on Will and Grace. I saw what happened on I Dream of Jeannie. That's how relationships work. And it's like, I mean, I'm not saying I know how relationships work. For me, that's a disaster. It's never, you know, but I just think, you know, there's something to living a life as opposed to being like, I am going to do this thing. I am. And maybe self-justifying. But
no, I actually have no regrets. I'm in like a very good place mentally. And I'm hesitant to say that because it goes sort of against the branding of our podcast. Right. We're not supposed to be doing well mentally.
I'll make up for it, so don't worry about it.
But it's just like interesting, like what could have been. Yeah. But I don't feel bad. I feel like I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. But I brought all of that up because
you love dominating interns.
I still don't have a Mac. Hopefully I'm getting it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. A work sanctioned Mac.
Laptop?
Yes, because right now I have a PC, and that's what I've been using the whole time I'm at DreamWorks. But my new work functions I need a Mac for. So there's just like a lot of things that my boss is giving me, and I'm like, I hope I get to work on that tomorrow. Like, right. It's like it's a very useless feeling.
Boy, those people had good brand managers too, the Mac people, because somehow they convinced everybody you can only use this computer to do certain things. You know?
Right. Well, they make software
you might want to take a page out of their book, you know, sure. When you're managing your brands over there.
Do you think that Mac has good branding?
I think they've done a decent job. Like, I know what they are, and I'm not a guy who does computer things.
Do you think that maybe other people might think that as well?
I have no idea what other people think. I can't speak for them. All I can speak for is myself until I do market research.
All of Silicon Valley is just trying to
emulate them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And yeah, it's interesting. I mean, a lot of like meetings with like mucky muck important people. But I'm the low man on the totem pole, and that's fine. It's just interesting to listen. And then I'm also the one giving notes.
Yes, Mr. Mucky Muck. Yes, Mr. Mucky Muck.
I'm giving notes to other people on their work, and that
nice.
But it's an interesting transition because corporations are set up so much that there is like no matter what, there's someone above you approving it. Mm-hmm. So you it's easy to just be like to hand it off.
Right.
And then to be like, no, I need to actually look at it. and I might be the one who's approving it. I don't know. It's a difficult
thing. I mean that is a difficult thing because there's a lot of dynamics at play. In other words, if you don't give notes, then why are you even here? Right. But if you give notes for no reason to prove that you should be here, then no one's going to listen to your notes anymore.
Right.
Right. So it's this constant, I mean, you know, obviously that's a problem in television all the time where there's lots of junior executives who are like, I think this. And mm-hmm. it's just like, you don't even know what you're talking about, but now we have this idea introduced that we have to address in some way.
Right.
And another thing with notes is when you're giving people notes, it's a communication thing. Like you have to figure out how to make people understand what you're saying and mm-hmm. get across your point. And I think that's a thing that a lot of people have trouble with.
Yeah.
You know, like I, you know, we've been doing this podcast for 13 years or whatever. I barely understand anything that comes out of your mouth on a regular basis.
I don't know why you do this.
I'm like, what is she talking about? So I can only imagine how difficult that must be for the people you're giving notes to.
Yeah, I don't know if I said this. I may have said this last episode. Mm-hmm. It's worth saying again because it tickled me so much. The woman that I trained to do the job that I was just doing, mm-hmm. She was like, Amber, it's so interesting. You're like the nicest person around here, but you're constantly telling everyone to stop talking. I screamed with laughter. I was like, "That is, you, I contain multitudes, and I love that."
And you just went, "Shut the fuck up!
Stop!" But I love that. I love it so much.
So let me ask you this: in what context are you telling people to shut up?
I don't think I'm ever telling anyone to shut up. But
well, they get the idea, though. They know what you're saying. They know the subtext.
Well, I think it was... I think she was being hyperbolic, but with her and her new boss, my old boss, mm-hmm. like, he especially is very much used to bouncing every idea off me, because that was the role that I played.
Right.
And I still, in at least for another week or so...
You were the yes man. You're like... Yeah, yeah, boss. Yeah, yeah,
no, good no, idea, no. boss. Like,
let's do that.
No, I was the sounding board. I would say no and I would say yes, like I appropriately. But I don't have the time to do that any longer. Right. So I have to just be like, good luck.
Stop sounding boarding me.
I can't wait to see what you come up with. Mm-hmm. In a few weeks, when it is my problem, because it isn't right now.
That was actually a punishment at Guantanamo Bay. They used people as sounding boards. No. That was, speaking of sounding boards, that was an interesting sound that just made. It felt like we were going through a tunnel for a minute.
But that is my checking in.
Great. Great. All right. So I'm going to check in and talk about yet again, the whole story of the pants. Because when last...
Sisterhood of the traveling pants over here.
No kidding. So last week I talked about how I went and I got new pants and I took them to the tailor and the tailor was like, these are much better. And I got the pants back. And the full truth, and you and I talked about this after mm-hmm. the show last week, I think, but I did not talk about it on the show. The whole truth, nothing but the truth, is that the pants I bought were white linen pants.
Big swing. That's Jeff.
Speaking of big swings. Yeah. So I bought white. It was a big swing, right?
Right.
And I had a linen blazer.
If you want to blend in or not, like white linen isn't,
right.
isn't going to do it.
Right. And I had this linen blazer, I had a vest, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to get a pair of pants like this. All three of them it wasn't a suit. They didn't go together. Mm. And I will say, this is what we talked about after the show last week. I said to Amber, I have three, it's like eggshell, ecru, and cream or something like that. And I was like, is it okay to wear all of those together? And Amber, you said...
I said it might actually be better because if it were two different kinds of white, it might be like, oh, he's mismatching. But if it's three, it's like an intentional monochromatic
right. thing. Right. Which made total sense to me. And I think is probably accurate. So I was all ready to wear my linen pants the day of the, because I was okay, there's so much to this, and I know I'm gonna fuck it all up.
Getting worked up about pants,
right? So these pants, I had these linen pants, and I was gonna wear the pants. But the point is, I was gonna wear them because I had written this speech for this celebrity, and they wanted me to come to see. Her name is Donna Pants, and
of the linen family.
But so they wanted me to come and see the speech. So I was going to go and watch the presentation at this very high-end shishi club.
That I guessed wrong.
You got wrong. We're still not going to say the name of it, but it's in downtown Los Angeles. Other people guessed and got it wrong too. So apparently there's a bunch of these places and nobody knows which one is which. I didn't know about any of them, but they're popping up all over the place.
I think for me, I was like, I know of one rich club like this, right. And that in my POV, that has to be the only one. And
I think what's happening is these clubs are coming around more and more because of the crazy wealth divide in this country. That the people who do have money are
they don't want to be around poor people.
Yeah, how can we do a thing that doesn't let other people in? You know, but luckily I speak rich. So I was going to go to this thing, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna dress differently from the last time, whatever, whatever. What I realized, I tried on my linen pants. They looked great. They fit perfectly. But do you know the problem with linen pants?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
Well, I know the ending.
Oh, you do? Okay. the problem is you can see through them. So yeah. I had on incredibly amusing underpants. And
how amusing.
They're the kind of underpants that people are like, oh, those are great. You know,
no,
I get what you're going for. Those are fantastic.
Oh, I get that reference.
Yeah, yeah. I see what's going on with your underpants. I get it. So I had those on.
No,
and you
needed
see,
like a nude panty.
All kidding aside, as soon as this came up, I did order nude panties from Amazon. And they were like, these are for you, sir? They contacted me directly.
They shouldn't have.
No. But anyway, so I was like, I can't wear these. I literally don't have the nude panties I need yet. So I'm not.
Don't get for you saying
and you don't want to go.
Started.
You don't want to go commando because what happens
that's
if you see
worse.
Through that?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd rather be amazing.
That's quite a pair of underpants you have on there, sir. Oh, those aren't my underpants. Anyway. I was like, oh, I can't wear these. So I decided what I would do, because it was literally the night before the thing. I had to go the next day.
Oh, my God.
And I was fucked. And I was like, okay, what I can do is I can wear the blazer and the vest, and I can wear the same pants I wore last time. People don't notice pants. Pants are not a thing that people are like, wait a second. Those are the same pants he had last time.
Well, it's so interesting because I was even going to bring this up last podcast but you had gone through so much heartache to get these new pants, but I was
bring it up now because it's way too late. So let's hear what it is.
But I like in my deepest, I don't know. I just was like
in the deepest, darkest recesses of.
Yeah.
Your
I'm like, wear the same pants that you know worked and then put on a different shirt and no one will fucking notice.
Right. Well, and that's what happened. Although I didn't want to, and I know you're right. Like, who gives a shit? No one cares. But I would have been in my own head the whole time going, these people think I'm poor, you know, which they would not have been wrong, but I did not want them thinking that, you know? So I showed, you know, and it worked out fine. But here's the thing. During the week between the or 2 weeks, whatever, between the first time I was there, I talked about the first time I was there, how I sat down with the celebrity and the woman in charge of the club, who was an incredibly wealthy woman who was like 80 years old, right?
Right. And they fell in love with you.
Well, check this out. Come to find out, during the following couple of weeks, my boss tells me that the celebrity and my boss were joking around afterwards of like, what if Sean really likes that lady and tries to make a move on her and they end up getting married and he, you know, And like, I know it's a different world from what I'm living in. And there is a thing with people who are like fortune hunters who go out and try to hook up with older people who have lots of money. So that became their joke of like, ha 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 ha. Wouldn't it be funny if Sean ended up with this lady and they were together and whatever. And they told me, or my boss told me, and I was like, yeah, that's funny. Whatever. I'm amused, whatever.
Not as funny as my underwear, but.
So here's what happens. I get to the thing. I'm way early. Like, they told me to get there way early, and I did not understand why, but I'll get to more about that in a minute. But I get there, and the woman who I had lunch with that day, the older woman who's in charge of the club, walks up to me, and the first thing she says is, she goes, "So, I hear you want to marry me." And I was like, what? Like, it was
crazy. It's like third grade stuff.
It was crazy. And I was like, if that's where we're going, that's where I'm going to go. So I just said, yeah, that's true. And I hear you're already married. So I just want to let your husband know that I'm coming for him and he better watch his back. And of course, that was like delightful to everyone, you know? So that was the first thing that happened when I got there. So I was like, thank God. I didn't wear the linen pants where you could see my balls.
It really seemed like you were putting a move on.
So.
All right, Sean's laying on a little bit.
He's really putting himself on display. Oh, you mean he's being really open about how he feels? No, I mean he's really putting himself on display. So, okay, so that's one thing. So I'm like, okay, fine. Then I go to sit down, like they're like, oh, your seat is over there. And there's place cards at all the seats, and they have a place card for me. My boss goes, just so you know, they put your name as Connolly. You're Connolly for today, right? So I'm like, okay, great. Like, I'm so important that they can't even spell my fucking
just
name.
Just started right. The first couple letters. They're like, I get it.
Okay, I know how this name goes. And I go, and there's nobody there yet except for one person at my table who's an even bigger celebrity than the celebrity that I wrote the speech for. So it's the two of us sitting at this table trying to make small talk before anybody else gets there. And I'm like, I don't know what are we supposed to talk about? What are we, you know? And on top of that, this person has a hearing problem. So we're like all the way across the table from each other. And anytime there's a lull in the conversation, this celebrity goes, I'm sorry, did you say something? I'm like, no, it was just quiet. So it's super awkward. She's telling me about how she has seven kids and all these, you know, my husband is from here and I'm from here. So we have great meals that are like this. And I just was trying to like keep the conversation going. Right. And it was fine. Then slowly other people start filling in. And I realized that this is entirely a luncheon of women. There are almost no other men there except for one guy. Well, there's a couple, but there's one guy who comes over partway through the meal and is like, you and I, like an older guy. And he's like, you and I are the only boys here. And I was like, yeah, we got to watch each other's. So it's just weird. Then yeah. I'm like, because, you know, people who listen to the podcast and who follow me on social media, and I think there's a couple who do, know that I like to post when Starbucks spells my name incorrectly, like S-E-A-N. They write S-H-A-W-N, S-H-A-U-N. S-H-A-W-O-N, you know, there's lots of different ways to spell it that aren't the way I spell it. And I understand it because it sounds different. But I was like, let me get a picture of like the place card that says Connolly, because I can put that up on social media. Smudgy. And so I'm like, I have my phone out. Like, I'm like this. I'm like trying to get a picture of it. And I realize, like, in my line of sight, directly across from me, the celebrity that I had been speaking with the hearing problem, is saying grace for the entire table as I'm seeing this picture. So it looks like, and everybody else has their heads bowed and their hands folded and whatever. And I'm just like, oh, let me get a picture of this for my.
At least they don't see because their eyes are closed.
I hope not. I hope they didn't see. So anyway, I just felt very out of place. I did not belong there. I didn't feel comfortable. I'm talking to people about their kids and, you know, all this stuff. And finally, the speech goes on. It goes very well, although clearly the person doing the speech had not taken any time to do anything about memorizing it or remembering, you know. So, you know, I had written certain jokes in there, and some of them she kind of hit, and then other ones it was like, oh, that didn't work at all.
That doesn't make sense the way you said it. Totally
off. Yeah. So everything goes fine. The luncheon ends. People are sort of filing out. I go to use the restroom upstairs, and there's a whole display of naval military history, like the entire floor.
Catnip. Catnip for you.
So I'm just going through all these pictures. Yeah, and I'm like jerking off, you know.
Please, no.
But I was fascinated by all this stuff, and I'm looking through everything. I found a picture of a ship that I'm pretty sure is a ship that my father served on during his time in the Navy. Finally, I make my way back downstairs, and this guy comes up to me, and he's like, hi. Like, everybody was so friendly, and he's like, hi, are you, you know, you were at the luncheon. Are you a member here, or what's, you know? And so I start talking to him, and I'm telling him about, you know, how I saw the photo upstairs that was the ship that my father served on, and, you know. And I figure out that this guy is married to the lady that I was talking to at the beginning.
Seduce them both.
No, I literally, I mean, I was so out of my mind at this point. I was just, it was like a weird out of body experience. So I go, oh, you're, you know, whatever his name, you're Danny, you know? And he's like, yeah, I'm Danny. I'm married to so-and-so. And I was like, I heard about you. Turns out you and I are rivals at this point. So you better watch your back, Danny, because I'm coming for you. Just so you know. He didn't even know what I was talking about. Like, he was just like, oh, what? Like,
oh, man. So, which is worse.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, you know, I told the celebrity and the boss about this, and they just thought it was so funny that they had put me in this position of, like, aggressively defending my position, you know? And we'll see what happens. I'm going out with them. I could be very rich sometime soon if I play my cards right. But anyway, that was sort of the conclusion of the story. Although now I have these incredible pants that I've never worn that are just sitting in my closet.
You have to create an occasion to wear them. Like,
I think I do
have like a summer
a linen party
tulip, yeah, sort of situation.
Please wear all white to birds. So that was my big thing this week. I didn't really have anything else to check in with, and I guess we should just do the segment that we like to call Parting Shots. So why don't we start today with Amber?
Yeah. This will be quick. This weekend, it was the LA Marathon again. And
you have run before.
Yes. Yes. And Smudgy and I went and watched the runners go by on Sunset. And he was really good. I was really proud of him. He, like, I thought that he might freak out, but he was like, yeah, whatever. There's thousands of people running down the street. I don't give a shit. Like, yawn.
He was like, where is their turkey leg?
Right, exactly. He was more worried about the other dogs watching the marathon. Mm-hmm. He was like, I'm going to keep my eye on them. But yeah, you took the wind out of my sails slightly, but I'll forgive you.
That's what I live for.
that was I think the craziest part of watching the marathon is like, I've done that. It feels like a lifetime ago. It was quite some time ago. I want to say,
how long ago was that?
I think it was 26. It was the beginning of 2016. So,
7 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a long time. Yeah. Don't they say a human being, like, you're all new cells every 7 years or something?
I think they say that.
I can't wait.
Crickets come up every 7 years.
The locusts or
yeah,
the.
Yeah, there's a plague every 7 years.
But yeah, like.
Cicadas. That's what I was trying
to say. Cicadas. Yeah. It's just such a crazy thing that I did. And I was like, proud of myself. Yeah. It's not something I ever want to do again, but. It's great. I mean, it's nuts. I was not to give away too much about my location, but we were right. We were very near the 7 mile mark. And
oh, I know exactly where you're talking about. Right by that thing, the place with the, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's just wild. Like the runners are pretty much at the beginning of their run, and it's wild to think 7 miles into
how
anything
much farther they have
is
to go.
The beginning. Yeah, and yeah. There was a guy who was completely shirtless and shoeless. He was mm-hmm. just wearing shorts.
That's shirtless, shoeless Joe Jackson.
It just feels like dangerous. It feels like there's like broken glass.
Well, I was going to say, people do a really good job of cleaning the streets here in LA. You can tell when you're walking around, you know?
Well, Smudgy could tell.
Yeah. And if you did cut your foot, there's no way it would get infected within a second with every disease known to man, you know?
Right.
Because they really do. They shine up those streets really well. Streets of paved with gold.
Too good.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was it. It was... And it's also just so funny how close it is to my house and that people came. I don't know if they're from this neighborhood or they drove in, but they had like, they set up whole like cheerleading squad signs with like glitter and they each had a letter and they had musical instruments and they were really cheering people on. And
this was for a particular person or they were just having fun
I'm guessing it was for a particular person or maybe like a group of people, but yeah, like people go all out and at the same time, it's just in my sleepy little neighborhood.
Right.
And my favorite thing also walking back is all of the cars who don't realize this is going on. I mean, I don't love it, but it was interesting to notice because they would drive almost like full speed and then be like, ah, goddammit, and then have to U-turn. But like, that's going to be the case for quite some time, buddy. There's not a way to cross the street today.
It's not like there's only 12 people in the race, you know?
Right, right.
There's going to be streams of people coming for a long period of time.
Well, that was the thing is Smudgy and I went for our long walk and we went the opposite direction that morning. And I remembered that it was the LA Marathon. And I kept trying to be like, let's head back actually this way. I want to see the marathon.
No, there's turkey over here. There's a turkey leg.
We did our full long walk and then came back and watched the marathon. And maybe that's also what helped him be so well behaved. He was nice and tired.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I have to say, I still have not high hopes
of the half,
but slight hopes of doing a marathon at some point, you know, because I've done the half. I've done two halves, which is really that's a marathon. If you do one half and another half, that's a full marathon.
Yeah, the break in between.
Well, it was a year. It took me a year and 6 minutes to finish a marathon.
Yeah.
But. You know, I still did it, but I'd like to do it a little faster. I just don't know that I will. I had signed up for one and was training for it. And then I did something to my foot and I was like, I got to stop for a little bit. And then they canceled that marathon.
My God.
Like they literally just said, nope, we're not doing it. So we'll see. I don't know that I'll ever do it, but it would be nice to have that experience, I think. But I don't know. Who knows if I'll ever know. All right, here's my parting shot. I don't have a lot, except to say that I went this morning to buy coffee at a Blue Bottle Coffee Shop. Are you familiar with Blue Bottle? Mm-hmm. Yeah, their logo. I don't know if you know about branding. Their logo.
It's a blue bottle.
It's a blue bottle. Yeah. So you do know about branding. You know
honestly?
How that works. Yeah.
Great. Great job.
You're already doing well.
I'd approve that creative.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, we're called Blue Bottle Coffee, but our logo is a red cow. doesn't work. So I went and I was like, can I get two large coffees with half and half? That seems simple. It seems very easy to me. And the woman behind the counter said, yes, I can do that. So I was like feeling great.
Pretty confident. Yeah.
I was like, this is
things are looking
so
up.
Far a good morning. Mm-hmm. And she goes over and futzes around with her back to me and like all this stuff going on and pouring and pouring and putting stuff in, whatever. And she turns back around and she has two iced coffees for me. And I just was like, I don't know where the communication breakdown happened. Like, do you just assume that when somebody says coffee, they mean iced coffee? Or did I say something like, I would like two nice coffees, please? Or like, what was the thing that fucked me up? But the problem was, and I guess this was on me. Somebody I talked to later in the day told me this was my fault and that I should have done something different.
Okay.
I said to this woman behind the counter, nothing. I had had no coffee at that point. I was too tired to fight it. And I was like, I guess I'm having two iced coffees instead of two regular
and
coffees.
And both were for you.
They were both for me.
Oh,
I
wow.
did not care for iced coffee. I do not care for iced coffee. But I was like, I guess somehow I fucked this up. So I have to accept my fate. And the person and tell me what you think about this. The person I talked to later in the day was like, no, you just say, I don't want these. I want hot coffee. And they have to give it to you. And I was like, I don't know about that. Do they have to give it to you? Like, they'd already taken my money at that point. So they could go, no, you're getting those, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I wish I was more like your friend, but I probably fall closer to your side. Like, mm-hmm. if a waiter brings me the wrong thing, I'm like, I probably should have ordered this. Like, mm-hmm. like...
This guy knows me better than I know myself. Yeah. Yeah. So I ended up driving home drinking these iced coffees.
And those are expensive coffees.
It was like $15 for two coffees. I know. I was like, are you fucking? Because I had a tip 20%. And by the time I was done, it was $15.
Yeah.
For two iced coffees.
Yeah. That you didn't want.
Ice is not that expensive. Mm-hmm. Coffee is not that expensive. Where does the extra $5 a cup come from? Makes no sense to me. And that's the other part of it, is it was so expensive. And I was like, I'm already blown away that every coffee is like $4 or $5 at this point. But seven? Jesus, what is this world coming to? So that's it. That's what we have. That's what we have as far as checking in, parting shots, Smudgy's barks.
I know. It's a tough time of the day for him.
Right. folks, hit that smash button and ring the bell. And there he goes. and, you know, I guess we'll see you next time. We'll have more about pants the next time we do this show.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. And thanks for listening. We have been the Long Shot Podcast.
Bye. All right.
All right, go for it.
No, you're still recording. I have to go.
Oops.
I really have
Oops.
To go.
I don't know how to
That's
turn it off. Oh,
say.
Here we go again. I don't know how to.
No.
And I completely lost track of the signs, and I didn't even notice the. Ever
Thank you.